Our Bible lecture for this evening, Jesus Christ is coming to reign over the earth. And we'll draw your attention to our speaker for this evening, Mr. Stuart Mansfield.
Thanks very much, Simeon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen and young people. Thank you for coming out tonight to hear what the Bible tells us about the coming of Jesus Christ and his reign over the earth. Our lecture tonight is going to look at the return of Jesus Christ and the Bible teaching on this matter, the purpose of his return, and then finally, what the return of Jesus Christ will mean for the world and for you and I personally. We're going to use the Bible as the basis for our words this evening because we as Christadelphians believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. It's God's only revelation to his servants concerning his will and his purpose. It contains for us the hope and certainty of what God has revealed will surely come to pass. It details for us the history of the world in association to the purpose of God, and it also reveals for us prophecies of the fulfillment of the gospel on the earth. So to begin with, our lecture tells us that Jesus Christ is coming to reign. So if he is coming, he must be somewhere at the current moment, which is not on earth. Where he is in heaven. He ascended to heaven after he was raised from the dead, and we learnt this from our reading from references such as Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. We read that just then, where it says, And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, he went up, and behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That Jesus had ascended into heaven and was expected to return was also the firm belief of the apostles, including people like the apostle Peter. He said, speaking to the people in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The Bible also teaches us that the return of Jesus Christ is going to be literal and visible. It isn't a symbolic return or some sort of return by a representative. It will be the literal return of the very same Jesus. We learn this from our reading tonight in Acts 1 verse 11, where it says, Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So this declaration to the 11 apostles was that the same Jesus which was taken from them into heaven, he would return. And he would return in the same manner that he left, that is, visible and literal. We also learn about the literal return of Jesus to the earth from the words of the prophet Zechariah in chapter 12, verse 10 and chapter 13, verse 6. In chapter 12, verse 10, we read, And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And then in chapter 13, verse 6, we read, And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. So to be able to look upon Jesus and see the wounds in his hands, to see the one that was pierced, this could only be said of the very same Jesus Christ. So this must mean that his return is a visible, literal return of the same Jesus which was crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven. So having established then that the same Jesus Christ which went into heaven is going to return to the earth, I want to spend a few moments to look at what the Bible teaches us is the purpose of his return to this earth, specifically tonight in relation to the establishment of a kingdom and to reign. One of the main reasons that Jesus is coming back to the earth to reign is to fulfill the promises made unto the patriarch David. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 to 13, marvellous words we read there, and it says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, he shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So we learn from this verse that God had promised David that out of his seed, God was going to establish a king and a kingdom which would be established forever. Now, the important thing to know about this verse is that it begins with, "when thy days be fulfilled." That is an Old Testament term for when David had died. Now, therefore, this promise cannot relate to Solomon because David was still alive when Solomon was established king. So, therefore, we must be looking for another seed of David, which is to be established as the everlasting king on his throne. This seed of David is Jesus Christ, which we will see in a little bit from another quote in the New Testament. This promise was actually alluded to by the teaching of the apostles when they said that God would return to restore again the tabernacle of David that was fallen down. This purpose was actually spoken by Jesus Christ in the days of his first advent. He spoke to a person, Pontius Pilate, who was governor of the land at the time that he was born, a king, and that it was for this very purpose for him coming into the world. Turn with me to John chapter 18, verse 33 to 37. John chapter 18, verse 33 to 37. "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this age, as it should be translated. If my kingdom were of this age, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So this declaration of truth to Pontius Pilate was actually a reiteration of the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary just prior to the birth of Jesus Christ. Come back with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 23. where we read in Luke 1, verse 26 to 33. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed be thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So here in these words of the angel Gabriel, we have the confirmation, we're confirmed the wonderful promise of Jesus Christ. We have here the confirmation that Jesus is the greatest seed of David that was promised, the promised king who will sit on the throne of David forever in Jerusalem and rule over the kingdom which shall never end, a kingdom which we are told the God of heaven will set up. The Old Testament prophets also tell us of the fulfillment of the promises made to David, in places such as Isaiah 2, verse 2 to 3. We'll go there in a minute, but it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So these verses reiterate for us a time when the fulfillment of the promises made to David will occur. The verses speak of the promised kingdom set up on earth, the capital of that kingdom, Jerusalem, and its King Jesus Christ, he will reign over the earth. This promise to David is actually mentioned a little further in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, where the prophet Isaiah tells us, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The promise of David of an everlasting kingdom and an immortal king to sit on the throne is what is referred to in the Bible as one of the great and precious promises of God. They are the promises that the servants of God have longed and looked for throughout the history of the world. They are not far off, far-fetched matters which don't affect us in this distant age. These promises are the hope and comfort of the servants of God in the days of evil that we live in as we wait for our coming King, Jesus Christ. Now, the purpose of his return is to judge the world and to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. We're told this is going to occur in both the New Testament and in the Old Testament prophets. We're told in the New Testament, in places like Acts 17, verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, Because he, that is God, hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, these events are also prophesied for us in great detail in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, we have detailed for us the revelation of God concerning the kingdom of men, all the way down to the time period when God's saints and his son will remove away the kingdoms of this world and establish the kingdom of God. And we have revealed specific details of these events in chapter 2 and verse 44, where we read, In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this prophecy tells us that this kingdom will be established and set up by the God of heaven, that it will never be destroyed, and that it will actually consume all other kingdoms after it has broken them in pieces. If you'll actually come with me to the prophecy of Daniel and chapter 2, the prophecy tells us that once this image empire that was delivered to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream has been set up, the God of heaven is going to intervene without human assistance. Let's read together verse 34 and 35, where Daniel says, Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. So we're told that once this image empire, the kingdoms of this world have been smashed by the stone power, which is Jesus Christ, this stone power is going to break in pieces this image empire, and then it will grow to be a great mountain and fill the whole earth. Now, when we look out on the world today, I would suggest that there is currently no nation that is looking for the return of Christ. There's probably also no nation that's preparing itself to submit to the reign of Christ when he comes. No nation is currently ready to submit to the authority of God. And this being the case, the kingdom of God which God is planning to establish, can only be established by the subjection of all kingdoms which currently exist. For Christ to reign over the whole earth, he and his saints must conquer all other kingdoms and nations which currently exist today. The kingdom of God, which he intends to set up with his son as the king, we are told in Daniel, is to consume all other kingdoms. And for it to do this, the kingdoms of this world must either accept the rule of Christ or be conquered. This process, we are told, is not instantaneous. Verse 35 of Daniel 2 tells us that the stone grows into a great mountain. The Bible tells us the process of accepting the reign of Christ is to accept the authority of God. Now, we don't have time to prove it tonight, but the time period to subject all nations to the rule of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom is said in the Bible to be about 50 years preparation. The judgment of Christ and his saints will be all-consuming. They will replace all rulership of men with the rulership of Christ. We read of their coming judgments on the nations in places such as Psalm 149, verse 5 to 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen or the nations and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honour have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So the extent of the judgment will be so far-reaching that other prophets such as Isaiah and Micah tell us that in those days the people of the world will turn their weapons of warfare into tools of agriculture and they will learn war no more. Such will be the time of peace which is established. Now, having executed the judgments of God on the nations, Christ will then establish his kingdom on earth. And we know that this kingdom is going to be on earth because his saints are said to sing in Revelation 5, verse 9 to 10, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." So the rulership of Christ on the earth and the establishment of his kingdom will be to fulfill the purpose of God with his creative work. God created the earth in 6 literal days with a purpose, which has been extensively covered from this platform. But in short, the purpose of God is to fill the earth with his glory as the waters cover the sea. This plan will be brought about as all nations are instructed in the ways of God once this kingdom of God is established. We read of this time of instruction from places like Isaiah 2, verse 2 to 3. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." This process will slowly educate the world in the ways of God and teach them of his commandments. The rulership of Christ and his saints is for a distinct purpose, that they might teach the world of God, which will culminate in the completion of this purpose. As we said, the whole earth filled with the glory of God. At the conclusion of his kingdom, which the Bible tells us will last 1,000 years, there will be nothing left on earth that is not filled with the knowledge of God and gives him glory. Now, this blessed time of peace and safety is what all the saints of God long and look for. This wonderful time is the expected hope of all God's servants. So we might wish to know, when can we expect this time to come? Well, the Bible tells us to expect the coming of Christ to reign in what is referred to as the latter days in Daniel chapter 2. It's also called in other sections of the Bible the last days. What the Bible characterizes these last days as is also detailed for us. Now, we're not told the exact date when Jesus is set to return, but we're told of events in the world that we can expect to see when the last days have developed, and then we can expect Christ to return shortly. We read in places such as Joel chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So we're told in those days, when the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem is returned, that God will then gather all nations together to battle. This battle is referred elsewhere in the Bible as the Battle of Armageddon, and it is at this battle that Jesus Christ will return and intervene. As a prophecy of Daniel 2 tells us, he will break the image power and establish the kingdom of God on earth. So we're therefore looking for the time period when the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem has returned, which will then tell us that the return of Jesus Christ is near. Now, from history, we know that this has actually occurred already. In 1948, when the Jewish people re-established themselves in their own land after a captivity of almost 2,000 years. This was, as the prophet Joel tells us, the returning of the captivity of Judah. And then the captivity of Jerusalem has also returned in 1967, when the Jewish people once again took control of the city of Jerusalem. These two events are exciting indications to the servants and students of the Bible because they tell us that the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his kingdom are very near. Events which have been eagerly sought for thousands of years have occurred for some of us here in our lifetime. Certainly not me. But these world events herald the coming of Jesus Christ to establish God's kingdom. This chapter also tells us in the last days that we can expect to see a build-up of military arms around the world, a time of trouble and great fear. And this has been happening for a number of years, but in our day we're seeing events in places like the Ukraine, places like South Pacific's aggressions. These events are what the students of the Bible are watching for as signs that the return of Jesus Christ is soon. Now, there are many other references that we can look at to see that the days we are living in are the last days, but we don't have sufficient time. What I want to focus our last part of the talk on tonight is what the return of Jesus Christ to reign on the earth means for you and me. Well, we read in John chapter 18 that Jesus said, "If his kingdom were of this age, then would his servants fight." We saw in other passages, such as Psalm 149, that it is the duty of the saints to go and fight and execute the judgments upon the nations and to assist in the establishment of the rulership of Jesus Christ. But in addition to the promise of assisting Christ with the establishment of the blessed kingdom and age to come, the true servants of God are also promised something much more exciting. They're promised in Revelation 2, verse 26 to 27, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." And then also in Revelation 3, verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne." So these two references show us that the promise of the servants of God, those who have overcome the world and its lusts, they will be rewarded with joint rulership with Christ. The Bible tells us clearly that Jesus Christ will be the chief among his brethren, that he will be King of kings and Lord of lords. But the servants of God that have been faithful in the days of their mortal existence will be rewarded with eternal life and joint rulership with Jesus in his kingdom, established on this earth. This blessed hope is referred to in the Bible as the gospel. It is the glad and joyful news of the coming kingdom of God and its King, Jesus Christ. It's the promise of God to reward those who have been faithful at the return of Jesus Christ. We're told this by Jesus Christ himself in places like Matthew 16, verse 27, where it says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." So what we've seen tonight is that the Bible tells us the same Jesus which ascended to heaven is soon to return. He will return to subject the nations to his rule and to establish the kingdom of God on earth. It is only at this return, when he comes in power and great glory, that he will reward God's servants according to their works. To those who have believed the gospel message as taught by the Bible and submitted themselves to the will of God, to them is held out the glorious promise of joining Jesus in the rulership and administration of his kingdom on earth. The Bible tells us that God has set a time for his purpose, that he has appointed a day in which he will judge the earth. From the many Bible references, some which we've looked at tonight, we're told that we are living in the last days before Jesus is set to return. And we therefore implore you to search the gospel message, be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, and submit yourselves to the commandments of God. Very soon, there will no longer be time of opportunity. Very soon, the cry will arise that the Lord has come. And when that day comes, Jesus has returned. He will establish a rule of peace and righteousness, when war and suffering will come to an end, when the world will know and learn of God. But in particular, for those who are considered the true servants of God, he will come with the blessed hope of eternal life and the participation with him in the rulership of the earth and of his kingdom. Thank you.